listening to the Multifamily Podcast, brought to you by Ron Ruiz and Martin Canciola, co-founders of Apartment SEO, a premier Google agency, where we discuss current multifamily and real estate trends, apartment marketing strategies, and speak with some of the most influential thought leaders shaping the multifamily industry today.
I hope everyone is ready for an AI-infused episode of the Multifamily Podcast with Ron and Martin. I really can't believe it. We actually have our very own Google account manager with us today to demystify the top questions we had around AI-powered Google ads for our audience. Not only has she been working closely with Apartment SEO and our clients, but really providing that next-level support for us as an agency. She's a wealth of knowledge on all things Google ads, and we can't wait to dive right into the show today. It is my great pleasure to introduce Reva Akolawala, our Google account rep, and she's been working closely with us, you know, to the very end, really just putting every effort she can with us and our clients, and we really appreciate her. Welcome to the Multifamily Podcast, Reva.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm honestly glad, Martin, that you were able to say Reva's last name, because I would have mutilated it. So we apologize in advance. But Reva, it's an amazing pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for jumping through the Google hoops to get here. I just want to say that we obviously have been a Google partner and premier partner right around the time that we started the company 10 years ago. So we've had some great reps throughout the years, and I know that you are one of our favorites. So really excited about today, about what you're about to share, and just for the episode overall. So thank you for joining us again. And while we dive in, I wanted to ask our very first question is actually around Performance Max campaigns, or also known as PMax. I keep hearing that more and more for a while. Obviously, it's an AI-powered campaign type. It offers exposure to a full spectrum of Google ad products, including search, display, maps, Gmail, Discover, and YouTube. So my question is, can you explain how PMax campaigns differ from traditional Google ad campaigns for our audience?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. Well, first, I want to say all of the opinions that I have are my own here, but I am lucky to be an employee of Google and really learn a lot about these really cool cutting edge products that we have. So you're absolutely right in saying Performance Max really utilizes the full power of Google AI to help you multiply your conversions really across the marketing funnel. So it's across your Google Ads inventory, or maybe your product mix, anything like that. Performance Max is meant to be a solution to really drive meaningful actions for a business. And this product was really developed and has a lot of, engineers behind it, because during the 2022 holiday season, we noticed that 55% of shoppers actually used five or more channels. So five or more unique touch points that are across different channels, like video, like social media, to shop just over this two-day period. So there's a pretty interesting trend in the market where people need multiple touch points or different sorts of engagements to actually move through that marketing funnel. So PMax allows for those multiple touch points with different creative within one singular campaign. Whereas other campaign types, yeah, you can have a search ad with multiple maybe landing pages or search ads latent in that campaign. But PMax actually allows you to have multiple ad formats across different networks. So like you had mentioned, those seven networks: Google Search, Google Display, Shopping, YouTube, Discovery, Gmail, Maps. That's a really unique reach, and they all in combination kind of help you reach different conversion goals. So really, with macroeconomic uncertainty that we've all sort of been plagued with in the last couple of years, our advertisers are really just looking to maximize their ROI and make investments count. And we know that there's no one size fits all model for, you know, a customer going ahead and converting. So PMax really markets through that funnel. And then you can use value bidding and put even more information and nuance into your Performance Max campaign to make that AI as hyper-specific as possible with your own data, with audience signals, with generative content. We can always like utilize this PMax that really maximizes your reach with hyper specificity that you feed into the system there.
Fabulous. Thank you.
So PMax being, you know, one campaign that can really do it all, do you still recommend that apartment marketers have like a standard search campaign still, and maybe display, and also PMax on top of that? Or do you think from your perspective, can PMax just be one and done from what you think?
Yeah. So with limited marketing budgets, PMax is great because you do really reach everybody across the funnel. I wouldn't necessarily say that you should replace every single campaign with Performance Max, unless you had a really specific use case for that, just because there are benefits of having targeted network specific campaigns. If you have, certain goals or a flash sale, something like that, it might be really worthwhile to do a display campaign or do a search campaign that targets a granular audience or something like that. We can have more, network specific control and visibility on segmented campaigns where that Performance Max is really meant to be a complementary campaign. So the good thing here is that it's not going to cannibalize if you have a search campaign in addition to a Performance Max campaign, because your PMax campaign is in its own wheelhouse where it's marketing and remarketing to the same customer that might need multiple touch points. Also, if somebody views your search campaign and is not able to convert on search, your PMax complements those search campaigns in the account because it allows you to show different maybe video content or maps content or Gmail content, right, to that same person that if you were just running a search campaign, you probably wouldn't be able to reach them in that way.
Nice. Great feedback. Thank you. So, with one of the biggest thing is rich media videos. We know that with Google just, evolving as a search engine, that rich media is really the place to be. So we always strive to have our clients, create rich video content, short form vertical videos, advising them to use it for YouTube, also for their actual ads. But actually, Google Ads recently converted all discovery ads to demand gen in their latest AI powered innovation. This is a rich media campaign, which includes exposure on YouTube, including in-stream, in-feed, as well as Discover and Gmail. Could you actually explain to our audience how demand gen campaigns work and the best use case for apartment marketers?
Absolutely. Well, again, I can give you some context on why this product was created, and then we can go into maybe some of the specifics on it. Essentially, based on this consumer season in quarter four of 22, so our last full quarter, which of course we're in right now, quarter four of 23, 50% of consumers actually watched an online video before making a purchase. And that's compared to 34% in 2019. And I think there's a combination of factors towards that, which I think we could have a whole different podcast section on that, but people are moving towards short form video content generally, and it really influences your consideration overall. This growing demand ensures that you don't hit a sales ceiling where, we're seeing that actually when consumers watch a video and there's testimony or there's some other interactive sort of component to it, sales can really skyrocket. So demand gen allows you to influence those customers that are mid-funnel. Maybe they're stuck mid-funnel, right? We want to continue to generate that demand, of course, and drive our sales growth. So we created a product very specifically that can reach up to 3 billion users monthly. Like you said, it spans the YouTube Short network, YouTube in-stream feeds, Discovery, the Gmail network, YouTube feeds just generally. Our audience solution really latent in this demand gen campaign allows you to differentiate customers that have interest and then customers that have purchase intent. So you're creating really custom tailored content based on what these audiences are. So essentially what your demand gen campaign does, again, it's a complementary strategy within your account to make sure that you are maintaining demand in the market. And when people have purchase intent, we are reminding them exactly who we are and what we offer. So for social and creative first marketers, demand gen is actually a really powerful tool because it gives you a lot of autonomy over how your ads look across these different, dynamic channels of YouTube primarily, right? And then we can preview these experiences in real time before even launching the campaign. So demand gen is capitalizing on that shorter form video content and dynamic image content on that YouTube network to generate demand mid-funnel for marketers, and has the largest reach really of this video type of content than we've seen before. So I guess to talk more on the multifamily side of things, I know that's the exciting part of this. I really think that multifamily advertisers can optimize now across the funnel. I think there's a big mid-funnel drop-off that I know, Martin, we have talked about, but I've also talked about with other multifamily slash anyone in this physical omni-channel sort of rental space, it can get very difficult because you have a lot of interest and intent at the beginning, but then you actually don't see those people close and convert. So I think this is a unique opportunity to showcase and utilize creative content of beautiful apartments that we market and really go and show to people who are maybe mid-funnel, who have shown some sort of intent, but they actually haven't gone ahead and converted or contacted, filled a sign-up form, or even, you know, signed up to go take a tour of an apartment. Demand Gen also has brand lift and search lift to measure the impact of your image assets and your inventory in Demand Gen in your Discover feed and Gmail. So that's a unique thing for multifamily specifically, because I think it allows you to do some iterative testing based on if you want to add one image to your search campaign, we want to see what the best, highest performing inventory image that we have is. Demand Gen can give you those insights as well, because again, we're really showcasing our creative excellence here. And creative excellence doesn't necessarily have to mean, you know, we have beautiful graphics. It could just be showcasing the beautiful apartment space that we have, and then understanding how that affects your consumer psyche.
Some great strategies right there.
Yeah, that's definitely amazing. I love how you guys have now brand lift and search lift as a metric, right?
Totally.
I think it's going to be great for a lot of people when they're analyzing their data to really see the impact. So truly excited about that. So obviously, I want to switch gears a little bit. We've seen a lot of platforms obviously help with building better, well, just building marketers, but building better ad experiences in particular. Obviously, platforms like Canva and others are using AI more and more to help build faster and more elaborate ad creatives. I know we certainly do. We try to always be cutting edge. My question for you is, how does Google Ads use generative AI to help the advertisers build a better ad experience on their platform?
Totally. I'll speak more about AI and how AI is latent in our advertising first, and then maybe talk about some of the features that, you know, people are already using and things that I'm excited for in the future. So I like to think of AI as this third pivotal step, right? There was first the arrival of the internet, and then there was this move to mobile and this really, really strong shift to everything at the tip of our fingers. And I think AI is this third big shift. So this has the potential to be as momentous as those first two, and it creates really enormous growth opportunities for customers alike. People across every industry, not just multifamily, are seeing really unique opportunities with AI to just spotlight themselves or reach new people or reach people in a different, unique way. So we are really building the AI that will power businesses into a new phase of growth and opportunity. And we're seeing that in Google Ads already. So some examples that we might already see, we already spoke about, is Performance Max campaigns. Those Performance Max campaigns utilize the cream of the crop of Google's AI to really have the most wide-ranging targeting across every platform and every intent signal that we can pretty much index. It really allows you to multiply your conversions across Google's range of advertising channels. And I would say another thing that a lot of marketers have been using more and more in 2024 compared to years prior is a new optimized version of Broad Match with search campaigns specifically. This combination of broad match and smart bidding specifically, that is an AI combo, because essentially the signals that are taken into account with broad match paired with the signals and the intent-based signals taken into account with smart bidding paired together allows the most rigorous AI to actually target at the most granular level, taking into account multiple sorts of characteristics. And I'm happy to go into some of those characteristics that smart bidding really indexes. That is truthfully where I see Google AI performing the most transformative sort of marketing solution, really. I know we have some thoughts on that later, but I'm happy to go into it now as well.
Okay. Yeah, I know definitely broad match is definitely a topic of a discussion. I know sometimes in the past, broad match has been known to sometimes bring in some irrelevant keywords if you don't have a really killer negative keyword list. So I know some apartment marketers are pretty afraid of broad match and usually stick around phrase and exact match. So what would you say to that apartment marketer kind of wary of, you know, just kind of trusting the AI and going forth with a broad match strategy?
Yeah, I would say with broad match specifically, there have been a lot of innovations based on customer feedback, on sorts of noise. You're absolutely right, that comes in with broad match. So as of right now, it has been completely redesigned to be more powerfully paired with smart bidding. So there's no need to manage now millions of variations of the exact same keyword with the combination. And I would really want to make that abundantly clear. I always recommend that if you're utilizing smart bidding, it is going to work best with broad match. And where people have fallen short on broad match in the past, right, that's using an older form of broad match, perhaps not pairing it with smart bidding. The full funnel of the AI is not then going to, you know, improve or work as well as the improved version now. So I would say it has come a long way, continuously improving. Specifically now, it's considering additional signals. So the biggest thing for multifamily and apartment rentals, user location. With broad match compared to phrase and exact, broad match takes into account user location. And without that, in a multifamily space or a rental space generally, we can't ensure that those searches are relevant to your business unless you have that user location. We can see, you know, recent search activity, landing pages they visited, keywords, predicted performance. All of that is indexed and annexed with broad match and now not annexed with phrase match, exact match, right? Or we don't get the full scope here. So it's matching holistically, and it's an improved understanding of the keyword intent based on all of the keywords that are in your ad group. So that's another consideration that broad match makes. It's annexing with things that you have already put into your account. So some of the quality improvements, if you would like to hear about that as well, I'm happy to go into that with broad match.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so we heard the response for having more control, having more transparency, and having better quality with broad match. So there have been recent improvements on the quality of queries that broad match will actually match to. So being less speculative with that, improved matching decisions based on understanding of locations, as we had mentioned, within search queries. So there's now no need to use negative keywords to avoid geo specifically. And I think that is a big thing for apartment rentals. Marketers who are managing thousands and thousands of properties, right? Who are getting unrelated location or location cannibalization. Broad match is now able to exclude based on user location, and that's a specific broad tool. Then the last thing is language and geo understanding of user and advertiser. So the biggest example here, advertisers in India benefit from reaching bilingual users in India if they are advertising in English. So it takes into account both their geo, and then it takes into account their language as well. This is also a really useful tool if you are advertising, for example, let's think of some of the properties that we market on or we work on together, right? Certain areas in California, certain areas in Washington, they have populations that have either bilingual or predominantly Spanish speaking. And certain apartment rentals really want to capitalize that. Certain apartment renters really want to work within one specific market. Having a match type as well as a bidding type that takes into account both language and geo can help us reach the right person for the right property.
I love it. Yeah, there's so many good strategies to kind of unpack there. So, you know, you might have to replay this episode, audience, and just kind of go through it again, because there's a lot of good stuff here and a lot of good feedback that is really worth considering when setting up your campaigns. So very good stuff, Reba. Thank you. So the next topic right here is definitely also a big common question and, you know, strategy we have to get behind and explain the difference between our, you know, max clicks and max conversions. So this is the common question and really a great debate in our industry. There are two schools of thought here, and we'd love to get Google your perspective on the specific topic. So when running search campaigns, there are many performance types we can set up. These include maximizing clicks to get the most clicks for our money, or maximizing conversions. And when you do that, sometimes your max click, your cost per click sometimes does tend to go up. I do want to elaborate, though, multifamily industry, with their common cost per clicks being between $1, $5, maybe for more competitive metros, like maybe Houston, LA. In the scheme of things, when you look outside to other industries like personal injury lawyers or plumbers, some of these guys are paying $40, $60, $100 per click. So I just want to put it out there that we still have it very good in regards to how much we have to pay per click and for conversions. But ultimately, we know conversions are going to be a better target and a better value to go after. But what would you say to the apartment marketer who's more focused on cost per clicks over cost per conversions? Could you share the pros and cons of each, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is a question that I'm constantly talking with advertisers about. So I would say a while ago, bidding was pretty simple. We could pick up keywords and then specify bids based on the likelihood of that keyword to convert on a last click desktop same session basis. That is how, you know, Google Ads started, and some of our marketers have been on the platform since inception. So when it started, keyword bids were the most rich form of targeting, right? Then we kind of see time pass, more signals have been added, so marketers can account for things like device type, time, weekday, location. Nowadays, when we have smart bidding in its full breadth, we have more complexity for advertisers to set bids based on each user's context. So automated bidding is really the best and most efficient solution to account for all the available signals to improve our performance. Some of those signals specifically, right? Automated bidding takes into account your operating system, browser, device type, audience list, ad creative, language, application, conversion rate, conversion value, conversion paths, device, time, weekday, location, keyword bids. All that full funnel is taken into account by our sort of smart bidding solutions. But a lot of people who started in advertising are still used to this schema where, you know, the only way that we can target is keyword-based bidding, right? What I have seen work really well is smart bidding, using that as a tool to adjust to changing auction dynamics, because the auctions change every single day. They change every single second. The way I look for something might be different from the way Martin looks for something, might be different from the way Ron looks for something. And we all might be looking for the actual same thing, but we have different demographics, we have different device types, all of these different, you know, intense signals is how I would describe it, don't really get annexed when we are bidding for clicks. So with click-based bidding, we don't really get to consider any of those factors that I necessarily recommended. It is more making sure that we are only paying a certain value for our clicks here. So manual bidding does need a longer time frame to take that data into account and doesn't necessarily optimize based on the conversion action's likelihood. It's rather the likelihood that the advertiser is going to pay X cents or X number of dollars for a click. So what I always tell my advertisers, the way I think about it, essentially, if you are in a strip mall and maybe I work for an ice cream store, it is like going outside in the strip mall and grabbing as many people as possible within 60 seconds and saying, get into the ice cream store. Versus maybe if we're using smart bidding, it's asking everybody two pre-qualifying questions. Are you allergic to dairy and are you allergic to nuts? Because all of our ice cream maybe has dairy and nuts in it, right? So when we ask that pre-qualifying question, someone's going to turn back and say, yeah, I'm allergic to both of them. We're not going to waste time and bring them into our store. So while max clicks might have a lower CPC or max clicks, we might see more clicks overall, we might, and we most definitely will see less conversions here. When we switch from max clicks to max conversion-based bidding, you typically see 30% increase in actual conversion volume because it's taking into account all these signals and it's filtering before you go ahead and ask them the question, do you want to buy this service? Do you want to sign up? Do you want to contact us, right? It's pre-qualifying the people that even come to your page before they start considering. Because why would we target people, for example, again, if we have a interesting location name that is maybe the exact same as a popular TV show, we have those intent signals to know, okay, the Jasper Hotel, and I'm just using that as an example, right, is not the same as the Jasper movie that is coming out soon. Again, it's just an example, but we have those intense signals to say, if this person is a movie buff, if this person is right by an AMC, something like that, we know that the probable ad to serve is for Jasper movie rather than Jasper Hotel. So really understanding that click-based bidding can be really powerful for driving as many clicks as possible, or when you don't have conversion data, it's a great way to ramp up campaigns. absolutely agree. But I also think there's wonderful ways with conversion-based bidding that you can actually, and really honestly, value-based bidding when you have multiple different types of conversion actions, there's ways to put guardrails in place for CPC protection. If that's a really important metric for an advertiser, a marketer, or a client, there's absolutely ways to utilize, and Martin, I know we've talked about this at length, right? Portfolio bidding that combines both CPA and CPC technology. If that is a really huge priority for a marketer, that might be a right use case. And they're very cost, you know, sort of conscious both on the acquisition side for cost per actual conversion, as well as cost per click. There's ways to leverage both, but I would absolutely say that, I mean, the standard that we see is 30% increase when you pair a campaign with smart bidding. And then the real way to unlock that intent-based signal is pairing that smart bidding with selective broad match that makes sense for a client.
That's amazing. And I appreciate that you were able to share the two sides of the coin there, as Martin mentioned, because we do get that often and sometimes get challenged and questioned about our performance around that. So thank you for sharing that. And yeah, I'm really intrigued. I want to know more about the about combining the smart bidding with the broad match, the new generation of broad match.
Absolutely. And one more thought on this, just because it's something I think about a lot and we talk about a lot. I would also say just generally, max clicks bidding, while we are paying for clicks, you have to think about the sort of macro here. And it's really important to step back and just consider what is more meaningful for the business in the long run. Is it getting a lot of eyeballs that don't really care on the site and getting that at maybe 15 cents? Or to Martin's point, is it paying $5, $10, $15 for someone who's really engaged, who actually then decides, oh, you know what? I love that. I'm going to screenshot this and I'm going to walk past it when I'm on my walk to work. And then if I like the rental, I'm going to actually go ahead and either put an application in or I'm going to view the place, something like that, right? A lot of times, I think it's really easy to get siloed into the most flashy metric, right? Oh my gosh, my CPCs increased maybe by 30%, 40%. But what did that mean for the business? Your CPA is coming down. You're getting more lower funnel people. Sometimes that's a trade-off that we're willing to make, especially if we know that ultimately with a lot of really cheap sort of clicks or views, oftentimes they may not be the highest quality because they're not pre-qualified. And so would we rather spend a whole lot to get one in a huge sea, or would we rather go find the small pond that has all the big fish?
Right on.
Yeah, priceless. So now this is fun, right? Let's now look into our magic ball. Now that we're at a fourth quarter 2023, I had to decide what year are we in. Into 2024, I think we could like kind of start predicting. So what does the magic ball look like for, and what does Google Ads have in store for apartment marketers? How do you see the future of AI around Google Ads evolving? And lastly, what should apartment marketers prepare for?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would say a lot of people are already utilizing AI and maybe they just don't even know it yet. So it's just important to make sure that these kind of technical leaps are translated really well into products. And that is what the MO is, I would say, from everyone here at Google, is that we're really looking that to make AI your marketing multiplier for this next year. So that's honing in on three specific things. It's honing in on the creativity, allowing you and creating new tools to make high quality ads that work for customers in different instances. It's creating new forms of customer connection. So making sure that we are marketing at the speed that our customers are searching and the demand is growing at. And no matter how unpredictable that is, we are uncovering new pockets of demand. And we already talked about, right, demand gen. All of that is an iterative process. And I actually am really excited to share something that I know is coming in quarter one of 24 that is going to be really interesting, I think, really for the apartment space, but also just anybody looking to drive that mid-funnel demand down. So we are introducing these lookalike segments, which are really, really powerful within demand gen in quarter one of 2024. So this is completely unique to demand gen. It's a new form of audience targeting, which allows advertisers to bring their own customer list, like you've maybe seen before in Customer Match, via feeds, via YouTube subscribers, via retargeting lists, and then there will be more optionality there as well. And that is actually going to be used to create lookalike audiences using AI across YouTube as well as Google properties just generally. So this can be incredibly powerful for driving consideration of those who have already visited apartment units and vacant apartment units, right? If we have a good idea in, let's use the same example, the Jasper Hotel, which is a completely made up hotel. But if we know who is actually going ahead and renting out those suites, or they're looking to target a very specific market there, we can actually upload a list or the YouTube subscribers or the YouTube likers of anybody who visited this specific page or went to actually, you know, review the actual physical location. And then we can create a lookalike audience based on that using catchy assets of vacant places, right? And in this case, it's a hotel. I mean, more so probably an apartment listing unit. Any vacant apartments here, then we could use that creative content paired with a lookalike audience of people who have already occupied that hotel or that apartment rental unit. That could be a really, really interesting way to generate the right sort of demand for the right location, right? Because we can get hyper specific on which sort of lookalike audience do we want to create and what heuristic are we using, which unit, which demographic, which location. All of that is going to be all released in quarter one of 24. And I'm really just excited to see how we can leverage that, because I've seen some pretty, pretty great growth from demand gen in quarter four overall. And I guess last thing that I would say on that piece is we're always looking to build confidence. We are trying to make decisions with confidence armed with powerful insights. So using AI and the more depth that we get with AI, we're able to actually trust measurement solutions to create a privacy safe world. And I know everyone is focused on privacy. With AI, it's going to be the multiplier and scale in a way that is always privacy centric.
All right. You heard it straight from Reva. I mean, what more do you want? I mean, when it comes down to it, you have to, you know, get your lookalike audiences ready, get your rich media video content ready, and let's get ready to launch some demand gen in 2024.
Totally.
So actually, our last question is around Google Ads privacy and how you guys handle it. So how do you guys actually ensure data privacy and compliance for its users, especially when using AI to target potential renters?
Yeah, absolutely. So based on industry, there are certain privacy regulations, and I do want to be absolutely forthcoming in saying that I'm an account manager and I am not a privacy specialist. But what I can firmly stand by is that Google and Google Ads are committed to the privacy of advertisers and YouTube users on any network, really. And to this end, we make security and confidentiality of information the highest priority within any Google Ads or integrative service. So your email address, your private information, your billing information, it is never shared without your expressed permission, as well as the people that you market and the people that you target. Some things that I can talk through maybe a little bit in 2023 that I noticed as really strong privacy-centric measurement sort of movements. The switch from Google Analytics, Universal Analytics, to Google Analytics 4. I think everyone is familiar with that one, right? Having to kind of redo a lot of stuff, but that's to ensure privacy-centric measurement. That is to make sure that our users are, one, protected and their data is protected, and you are going to continue to have access to your data. So the switch to GA4 was completely based on privacy-centric measurement. And I would say another tool to sort of leverage if you are eligible to do so is enhanced conversions. Enhanced conversions are our most rich form of data tracking that is most privacy-centric. And it also typically uncovers, I believe the stat is 14% more conversions on average just because of unhashed data there. So privacy-centricity is for me personally, something that I take very seriously, and for Google, something that is absolutely top of mind. The tools that I'm really seeing, and GA4 is something I really heavily lean on to get the most privacy-centric data and measurement. But I do want to say that your information is never shared without consent, explicitly expressed. So with targeting other folks, there are absolutely rules, I would say, across every single different industry. And I work with folks from all over, every business unit, really, you can imagine. And everyone has to follow different guidelines and different regulations, really. And what I will say is that we are an engineering company, and we are committed absolutely to give you those powerful insights, but in a privacy-centric way.
Great. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. And I mean, that was the last question. And of course, we could ask you a ton more, but we had to, you know, be specific and intentional in the questions we were asking Google and make sure they were all good to go. But thank you again for your time. Ron, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Yeah, no, I'm like, you guys see me in my screen. I'm like smiling, I'm thumbing up. I'm like, I mean, Reva, you were amazing. This is like everything and more that I think we personally love the connection that we have with you. I know Martin speaks so high of your guys' connection again, 10 years in with Google. I appreciate the support. You guys, for those that don't know, it's not easy to always have Google in right front row center and hear from them. And so thank you for being a representative, sharing your personal opinions and thoughts and success. Elements. I think we have a lot to look forward to as marketers. I mean, I always say buckle up because, you know, in and around the world of the where we're headed with tech and AI, it's fast, right? Speed, light of speed. So you sharing some of these thoughts and kind of grounding us and helping us with that direction, kind of supporting also what we share on the daily, again, through your guidance and as, you know, certified marketers, I appreciate this so much. So thank you for joining us on the Multifamily Podcast.
Awesome. Well, I am so, so grateful that you invited me to join today. Thank you for the wonderful questions. And I cannot echo enough. I love the partnership that we have together. And I'm really looking forward to just rounding out a successful year for Apartment SEO. I've seen some amazing growth come out of your agency this year. And I can't wait to see what you guys do in the future.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Reva. We appreciate your partnership, and I really hope we keep working together into the future, like beyond 2024. So I'm hoping that works out good. But of course, you know, we always have good support from Google, but there's just those particular Google reps that come into our lives that really make an impact on our business. And we do really appreciate those certain people, and you are one of them. So thank you very much.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
Welcome. So everyone, make sure to subscribe to the Multifamily Podcast at multifamilypodcast.com. And remember, you can get your free marketing analysis or reputation report card from apartmentseo.com. And if you are looking to bring your Google search ads in-house and want a platform to help you build and manage your campaigns easily and effectively, then set up a demo at adsmanager.com. That's adzmanager.com. And until then, we'll talk later. Bye, everyone. Hi, y'all.
Hi, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Multifamily Podcast, brought to you by co-founders of Apartment SEO, a premier Google agency, with your hosts, Ron Ruiz and Martin Kinchola. Join us again next time as we continue to bring you the latest and greatest in the multifamily industry.